Blog Talk Radio.
Take my life.
Bless you, brothers and sisters. God bless you. You are now tuned in to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am your host, or one of them, Brother Manny. And tonight is an open line, open discussion, dialogue type of night, like every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Me and my two brothers, we come on the line with a topic. And we invite you to call in, although some of you have yet to call in. I think we got a few the last time we were on. But, hey, listen, tonight is no different. We have a great topic for you. We are going to be discussing John 3:16. That's right, the book of John in the Bible, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. Is it only about salvation? I mean, we've heard the scripture quoted, oftentimes read, and most people attribute the scripture to only talking about salvation and repentance. Normally, you know, when the pastors or elders are doing altar calls or when people are witnessing, trying to lead someone to Christ, that's one of the main scriptures that they use. And so tonight we're going to talk about what God is revealing in these end times about his love, about salvation, repentance, sacrifice. And we're going to talk about terms like suffering. I know people don't want to hear that word, but we're going to really get into it tonight. We're going to dig in, and I invite you to call in if you have a question, a comment. Or if you just want to listen, that's good too. You can call in and just sit in our sort of like our waiting area digitally and just listen to the broadcast, and we'll come back to you later on in the broadcast if you have any questions or comments. But to call in, that number is 563-999-3552. Again, I give you that number, 563-999-3552. And I'm never alone on Tuesday nights. You know that. I'm going to bring on my first brother. He is a minister in Christ. My eldest brother, Brother Nathaniel. Hey, Brother Nate,
good
how
evening,
are you?
Good evening. I'm blessed. How are you?
Feeling great, brother. Feeling great. Ready to talk about this Bible. Amen.
Yes.
And I'm also going to bring on our pastor, founding pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis, and our brother, one of my older brothers, Pastor Joseph Murphy, but we call him Rev. God bless you, Rev. How are you today?
I'm blessed, man. God bless. Glad to be on tonight. Ready to get going.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Nathaniel to open us up in prayer, and we can get going.
Amen. If you close your eyes, bow your head. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this evening, Lord, as we come together to bring forth your word, to get a better understanding of your word of John 3:16, that when we leave this line, Heavenly Father, we will have a better understanding, a little bit closer walk with you, Heavenly Father, which is what we want to do. We want to have that personal relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we start that today by understanding your word, Lord. So if there's any questions or any comments, Lord, please don't let them feel that ashamed or afraid to ask, Heavenly Father, because that's the only way you get an understanding is by asking, Lord. And we hope that you get an understanding this evening of this word that the three of us will bring forth, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, let all that comes from us, Lord, be through you, Heavenly Father, because we don't do this of our will. We do this of your will, Heavenly Father. And we thank you right now in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. I appreciate that. So, Rev, you and I talked a little bit about this. I want to go ahead and let you have your opening comments there.
Yeah, so in looking at this this text, as you already forestated, the average individual just sees it as a avenue in which God has extended his son Jesus in that we can be redeemed back unto him. But as we dig deeper into the actual verse, we see that some of the words that are structured in the sentence, the verse itself, really are an indication of a much deeper desire that God has, a much deeper relationship, a much deeper level of suffering and sacrifice that was really involved, which really points to how much God really loves us, how much he really loved us. That two-letter word in front of love, it says that God so loved, S-O, he so loved us. And it really brings to mind, the question, how much does he love us?
Amen.
And when we begin to unpack, as we will tonight, this verse, we will see that God did not simply have a surface love for us, but he had a very deep love and desire to redeem us back unto him, so much so that it cost not only Jesus his life, but there's some other things that happened prior to him losing his life. And so we cannot or should not, after tonight, look at this verse as just a salvation verse, or we kind of skip over it and read it kind of nonchalantly. And you know, most of us know it by heart, but do we know it with the deep meaning and the deep understanding that comes along with understanding how much God really loved us and how much he really loves us. And I keep saying how much he loved us because the finished work of the cross already been accomplished, but we need to understand the depth of the love that God had that caused Jesus to go to the cross, stay on the cross, and endure all the things that he endured throughout this process. And so that's my opening statement.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. I mean, I personally just, I mean, when we started talking about it, and I've been thinking about it all day, as a matter of fact, and it's just mind-boggling how we can just attribute certain meaning to certain scripture and just leave it alone and put it down and say, oh, that's what that is. But as you said, when we dig a little deeper, we start to pull back layers. It's like pulling back the layers of an onion. We start seeing more there than what has been taught or even preached or even read. You know, we've heard it quoted. But like you said, we know the scripture by heart, but do we know the scripture with our heart? That's what I want to say in my opening comment.
That's good.
Go ahead, Brother Nathaniel.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to add on to what you both were saying and what Pastor was bringing up about that soul. You know, it says that for God so loved the world. So he is right there letting you know he loved the entire world, not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles. He loved the whole world. And as Pastor stated, this wasn't just a sentimental love that he had. This was an out, I mean, you can't even put a label on how much he loved us other than what he did for us, because we were all living sinful lives back then, and some are now, some are striving to do better in Christ, which is a blessing. But, you know, people were living sinful lives, and he loved us so much, he couldn't take it because we were supposed to have blessed eternal lives from the beginning with Adam and Eve until they ate of the fruit. So he had a plan in act, which we'll get into deeper, to rectify that situation.
Amen. I think what's interesting, Rev, and I'll let you go ahead. I think what's interesting is that burial and resurrection of Christ, there were sacrifices being made. And I think that's the first, like, thing I noticed. It was a sacrifice. Prior to Jesus, there were goats and lambs being sacrificed. And there was a ritual that ensued among the Jews and how they atoned for sin. And the Bible says that that wasn't enough, that the law wasn't enough. It was weak.
That's right. That's right.
And so Christ had to come. And so I think that that's one of the things that really struck me, is about the sacrifice and how Jesus was sacrificed. I think you understand the level or the limit or the magnitude of that word when you say a human being was sacrificed. Although he was human as well as all God, all man, his human, his body was sacrificed, and he was without sin. He was pure. So that struck me as something very extraordinary. And now as I get a little older, it just means a little bit something different. As I study a little bit more, it means something different. I want to go ahead and let you get started. And you teach as long as you need to, Pastor. We're here to learn as well.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I want to say something the Holy Spirit just dropped in my spirit about that two-letter word, so. In the contextualization of this verse, it really becomes an acronym. but sacrifice and obedience. And so even as you begin to lean into this piece of the level of sacrifice in which we do not comprehend that Jesus made, we have seen the Passion of Christ, and the Passion of Christ is probably the only story that comes close to really nailing pardon the pun, but really kind of bringing into focus how bad Jesus was treated before he was nailed to the cross. And we have kind of just looked at it from a perspective of, oh, well, God loved us. He sent Jesus. Jesus died, like it was some warm, fuzzy story. But the truth of the matter is Jesus died a painful, agonizing, sacrificial death. And he did it as an act of obedience. And so when we look at that word, so it really becomes an acronym and the contextualization of this verse, sacrifice and obedience. Let's look at the sacrificial part of it. Jesus, as you previously stated, was 100% God and 100% man. It's no question about that. At no point when Jesus was on this earth, including when he was a baby, did Jesus still not have in him the lineage of the Trinity, which means that Jesus always, during his earthly reign, had access to kingdom authority. He had access to kingdom dominion. And so make no mistake about it, Peter would not have had to cut off Malchus' ear in the garden. If Jesus really would have spoke, he could have spoke those swords out of their hands. He could have spoke and Malchus' ear would have fell off. There's a ton of things that could have happened simply from the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. When he was being beat all night long, when he was being beat to the point of flesh literally coming off of his bones and Jesus being unrecognizable, this is the scene and the picture we must have in our head every time we take communion, because that is what the sacrifice was all about. So much so that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, faced with his humanity, not his deity, even though it was present, in his humanity, he said, if it is all possible, Dad, let this cup pass. Let's do this thing a different way. But then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but let thine will be done. I want us to grasp hold to this. Here is a sinless Jesus, a sinless Jesus. On all sides, in all points, had zero sin, but became sin for us. And now he's facing being beat all night long. That's upcoming, because I went back to the garden. That's upcoming. So much so when Jesus was sweating, he was coming down in big, large drops of blood. This was an agonizing thing, and Jesus could have said, I'm opting out. Jesus could have called down a legion of angels, or as we discussed last night, he could have just called down one angel, or he could have just spoke, and everything they were trying to do to Jesus would have dissipated, been eradicated.
Amen.
But Jesus became true sacrifice because, again, as you stated, the blood of spotless lambs and goats were no longer sufficient. It had to be a spotless Lamb of God in human form called Jesus, and he had to die. There was no other way to pay the ransom. His blood was the ransom. But when we understand, we're talking about a Jesus who had no sin. That should have been us out there. That should have been us on the cross. We certainly deserve it, right? And so when we look at this verse, we really must stop at the S and say, what level of sacrifice was paid? Let's go a little bit further. Since you said, you know, I got free will, I'm just going to let it roll. Let's look at this. Jesus and his Father had never been separated in all of eternity past up until that point. They had always been
Amen.
Together. We know this because Genesis says that in the beginning, let's talk about bringing creation about. And it uses the word God, but that word God in the Hebrew is translated in a plural sense because it's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So they always existed together, and they always were together. But sacrifice said that, watch this, once Jesus became sin, his Father could no longer look upon him. So not only am I going to be beat all night long until the flesh is coming off my bones, until I am clearly unrecognizable, not only am I going to receive 39 stripes, but I'm going to be pierced in my side, nailed in my feet, nailed in my hands, a crown of thorns put in my head, and to top it off, then a thief, he rails and says, hey, Jesus, you're supposed to be Jesus, save us, save me. And then to top it off, his Father says, I'm not going to watch. As you become sin, as you become the sacrifice, as you become the atonement, as you become the at-one-ment, I have to now, I don't know if anybody else has that feeling right now in your spirit. That sacrifice. You not eating for 3 days, that's not a same level of sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. You fasting, I get it, but that's not the same level of sacrifice. Jesus, get this, he had zero sin. He did not have to do this. He did not have to come down. But that so love drew him to the cross. And he didn't just, and it wasn't just the cross. Jesus conquered hell. He went to hell, took the keys from Satan, set the captives free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He got up that third day. So in other words, most of us don't even understand the significance of Jesus going to hell and then rising on the third day. And when we look at what happened, that means that because of the blood of Jesus, we now will never know what it is to go to hell. And also, we will never know what it is for us to be contained in a grave, because the minute we leave this place, Scripture says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Jesus made that possible in John 3:16. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, that is made possible. It ain't just about salvation. It's about eternity, where you're going to be. Hallelujah. It's
Amen.
About abundant access to God as you stay in him. And so I know I got to move on because there's a little bit more to get to, but that sacrifice that led to obedience, that S, that O, it led to obedience. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but Daddy God, your will be done. We must, Brother Manny and Brother Nate, we must not ever think that anything worth having is going to come easy. People of God that are listening, understand this. If God is using you in this end time season, if God is elevating you in this end time season, it's going to come with sacrifice, and you are going to have to be obedient through the sacrificing. You cannot hit the easy button. There is no way out, no easy way out. We're going to have to be obedient as Jesus was up to and through death, and we will receive that crown of righteousness, hallelujah, that God has for us. Notice that our sacrifice and our obedience, just like with Jesus, it wasn't solely for Jesus, but it impacted others. And I know somebody said, well, yeah, of course, hello, duh. The salvation was for everybody, but because of Jesus' sacrifice and obedience, a thief, one of the thieves, came to himself and had the sense to say, Jesus, I believe in you, and when you come into your kingdom, I'm watching you. I'm watching what you're doing. See, this is why we got to not only sacrifice but be obedient. Jesus didn't go up there like some of us would have if we would have been hung on the cross and we ain't did nothing. We would have been going off on people till we drew our last breath. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They don't even know they're participating in their own avenue of redemption. Come on, somebody through here.
Amen.
Amen.
And so,
I think.
And so,
go ahead, Pat.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I really find it extraordinary. It's just like we discussed last night. How many of us would have known about the suffering beforehand and still went through it?
Amen.
The sacrifice, being beat all night, flesh coming off you, being spit upon, being slapped, being humiliated. I mean, just treated in everything they could have thought about doing, plucking his beard hairs out. And like, I mean, every torturous thing they could have thought of, he endured, holding the power to stop it all.
Amen.
How many of us would have endured that sacrifice? That's the question I'd like people to answer. How many of us would have done that? Amen. Go ahead, Brother Nate.
And Manny, remember this. You know, my mother taught me, and I'm sure she may have taught you too, guys, but my mama said one of the nastiest things you can do is spit on somebody.
Amen.
And they spit on Jesus. They spit on Jesus. He endured humiliation at a level we will never know. And so to even add to what you're saying, Manny, how many of us would endure all of that with the ability to stop it instantly?
Yes.
You got the power. You can stop it instantly. You got the power. They ain't going to just keep on spitting on me. They ain't going to just keep hitting me with the cat of nine tails. They ain't going to just keep on plucking my beard out of the strand of hair at a time. They're not going to just keep on slapping me. If one more person slap me, I'm going to speak and they're going to fall dead. I'm going to speak and their arms going to go limp. I'm going to speak and angels are going to come and clear this place out. We need to be honest and transparent tonight. If most of us, you know, most of us, if we had the power and authority to stop that from going on, because let's be honest, some of us are going through some situations now, and we have opted out of those situations for an easier way of a much a simpler way or
the easier
more
route.
Comfortable way. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We have. No, that's too hard. I ain't gonna do that. And then what's our favorite line in church in Christian?
It don't take all that.
Weak religion. It don't take all of that.
It don't take all of that. No. Go ahead, Brother Nate.
Amen. No, I just wanted to add on to what was being said, because if people don't understand, like Bishop, I'm going to call him Bishop, like Rev said, that Jesus was beat with a cat of nine tails. Now, this wasn't just any ordinary whip. Each of these strips had sharp edges on it, either metal or glass or whatever. So when it hit you, it grabbed your skin. And when they pulled it, it yanked through his flesh. So he was just not getting whipped with a whip. He was getting whipped with something that was tearing his flesh. He was getting beat with rods, not any twigs. He was getting beat with rods. They was pulling his beard out a strand at a time. He was being spit on. He was hanging there by this pole, being spit on, being beat. And then the place a crown of thorns, and they just didn't sit on his head. They pushed it down into his head till he was bleeding from his head. And he endured that. And as my brother Manny said, how many of us would have even going through some of that. Me and myself, I would have said, Father, these people ain't worth all that. I don't want to do this.
You know,
but he went through it. He went through it for us.
You know, we talk about how horrific the night before the crucifixion was. But you know what I don't think we discuss enough?
What's
how
that?
Horrific hanging on that cross was.
Amen. Yeah.
Because the way they were hung, because the crucifixion was a technique that employed suffocation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way they nailed your hands and feet, you had to constantly find a way to push yourself up to try to get air into your lungs. So imagine Jesus' back already super raw from being beat all night long on this wood in this position of trying to, while his feet are nailed and while his hands are nailed, trying to use muscles that I'm sure at some point became very weak, pushing him, trying to push himself up so he could get air into his lungs.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about he went from torture to torture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And had the ability to stop it in an instant. Murph,
yeah.
You said something yesterday that I feel is germane to be said tonight. Jesus could have also went through everything he went through and made it so it didn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he didn't take that route. He said, no, I'm going to do this the way it has to be done. I am going to become the sacrifice. And so for whoever believes in me, and that text means his Father, they'll have everlasting life. But it doesn't just mean believe in God. And I want to go there next. Because most people think they could just say, oh, I believe in God, but not take Jesus along in the package. And when the text is saying that, you know, whosoever, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believe in him shall not perish, watch this. You have to take the whole package. You cannot
Amen.
Say, oh, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe Jesus was Lord and Savior. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to say, I believe in Allah, but Jesus was just an ordinary prophet like Muhammad. Jesus was not like a prophet like Muhammad. Jesus was the Lord and Savior. And no, this is not a white man's religion. And we need to set the record straight. And just like all these other religions are stand on theirs and they're dogmatic about it, it's time for the body of Christ. It's time for the body of Christians to stop, you know, kowtowing down and stand. Listen, there's only one way to God, and that's his son, Jesus. That's what you believe in. That's the system unto salvation. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. Muhammad is in the grave still. His remains are in the grave. You know what I'm saying? The pious Pharisees, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews who believed so much more in Abraham than they did Jesus, Isaac and Jacob more than they believed in Jesus. Guess what? Those Jesus is the only one that was ever resurrected from the dead and is still alive. And is still alive.
Amen.
Lazarus was resurrected, but he died again and he stayed dead. And so what we need to understand is there is but one way. It's not just a salvation scripture. It's a scripture that shouts sacrifice, obedience, and there's only one way to get to God, and it's through the finished work of the cross. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can continue, Pastor. Manny had to step away for a minute.
I guess. I just think about this. When you comprehend the depth of Jesus' ability versus the depth of what he did, it ought to make us grateful. And then after we finish being grateful, it ought to make us hopeful. It ought to make us say, you know what? You know what I'm dealing with ain't so bad. And the reason that it ain't so bad, not because it's not bad, but because I have somebody who I have a God that is on my side. I have my big brother Jesus, joint heir, who's in the throne room interceding on my behalf. I have the Holy Spirit who's interpreting my prayers to the throne room. And so we ought to rejoice and be excited that God did not just come up with some late haphazard plan to redeem us. Listen, there was a lot of love and care that went into this salvation process. And it started with Jesus being born through a virgin named Mary, who, amen, followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus understood that he was on this earth. And this is what we need to pick up on as well. This is an assignment. We are on this earth to fulfill an assignment just like Jesus was. And the next time we get upset about our loved ones transitioning, just keep in mind, Jesus was only here 33 and a half years. And guess what? Somebody said, well, that was what his assignment was. Well, guess what? Your loved one lived, in most cases, lived longer than 33, and when that assignment was up, it was up.
Amen.
But the point of the matter is be found doing what God has called us to do, time he's given us to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen. I think what's interesting is understanding also our level of sacrifice, right? Is your level sacrifice equivalent to your expectations from God?
Yeah.
Right? Understand the type of relationship that Jesus and the Father have is that Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself in obedience for a purpose, for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Because of the love, right? It's because how deep is that love?
Yeah.
That he would come and sacrifice and suffer. What level of suffering are you willing to endure to go to that next level in God? To really allow God to use you for his glory. A lot of people say, well, Lord, let your perfect will be done in my life. That may require suffering. That's going to require sacrifice. If you're not willing to endure the sacrifice, if you're not willing to endure the suffering, if you want to be glorified with Jesus, you have to, guess what? Suffer like Jesus suffered.
Yeah, that's the word.
The problem is that we are not willing to suffer and to sacrifice, but we want everything from God. Just like we were discussing last night. We want everything from God. God, I want you to heal. God, I want a house. God, I want my unsaved loved ones saved, my son, my daughter, my wife, Lord, I want you to fix my marriage. Lord, I want you to fix my job, fix my boss on my job. We want to ask God for everything, and we think we're entitled to it because we say we're saved, or we carry the title, I'm a Christian. Well, to be Christ-like means to suffer like him too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Everybody want to talk about the good stuff, right? Oh, yeah, I got power and I got authority. But do you have ambition to suffer and sacrifice to really please God?
Wow.
Because God so loved that he sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice for you and I.
Yeah.
That should have been us up on that cross. That should have been us being beaten. We should be spit upon. If you really love them like you say you do, that's a song in the secular world. If you love me like you say you do, you're going to be ready to be persecuted. You're going to be first in line to be persecuted and to sacrifice and to suffer. But not many of us are willing to do that. Understand something. Jesus knew what he was going to go through before he went through it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And still stayed the course. How many of us would have done that? Go ahead,
Amen.
Brother.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to either Rev or you to let people know or get an understanding that if this never took place, we would be hell bound. There would be no chance for life with God if this didn't take place. This had to take place to give us a chance for eternal life with the Lord and Jesus, and not straight to hell. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else. Well, I know pretty much you too, but I don't want to go to hell. I'm not planning on going to hell. I'm going to do all I can not to go to hell. That's the only cuss word I'm going to use tonight.
Amen. Well, The Bible says in John 10 that no man, I like how Jesus was a little braggadocious in a way. When somebody tried to, you know, get kind of tough on him, saying that he had the power to set him free or to crucify him, and Jesus said, "Hold up, wait a minute. Let me just get some things straight. I'm volunteering to do this. I no man taketh my life. John 10:18 say, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and guess what? I got the power to take it up again.
That's
this
it.
Commandment
right.
have I received from my Father.
Yeah.
They had an understanding. He wasn't worried about if he was going to be resurrected. He wasn't worried about that. But he had a human moment in the garden.
Yeah.
He had a human moment. His body, he understood physically in his human form that this was about to hurt more than hurt.
Amen.
He was going to suffer a pain unimaginable.
Yeah.
Do we really treat God in that way? Do we have that type of relationship to where God, you know, we get the smallest pain or we endure the slightest trial? Take it off of us. Take it away from us. I don't want to deal with this. How many of us say, but nevertheless? Pastor, when you preached that a couple months ago, I just want to jump up and run around my little apartment. Of course, it wasn't going to be too far because it's a little apartment, but I definitely wasn't going to do no running, but I was going to fake like I was. But that nevertheless is something else. That's deep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Could I just say one thing? When Pastor spoke about him being on the cross and trying to pull himself up to get air to breathe, it the Holy Spirit reminded me when I was about, I guess, 16 or 17. My brothers know I used to suffer asthma real bad. And this particular time, I had such a bad attack that I had to be carried out of the house to the hospital, which my mother and them wasn't thinking about calling the ambulance or whatever, so it was never God that kept me. But just the fact that I was using every ounce of strength I had to try to pull air into my lungs just to breathe. And when I got to the hospital and into the emergency room, the doctor said if I had got there any later, I would have died because my lungs would have collapsed. So I can just imagine just being on that cross, suffering that same way. That being able to breathe is precious. And not being able to pull in air, I could just imagine. So that's all I wanted to add to it, Pastor.
And Rev, we got about 13 minutes left. I just want to go ahead and give you the rest of the time, but I want to bring on our aunt and see if she wants to say something. Auntie Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm enjoying it.
Amen. Okay, I just wanted to check to see if you wanted to say something.
Well, praise God. I think years ago on the 700 Club, this man depicted how they had did our Savior and everything, and he was saying about, he showed the thing that they had whipped him with, you know, and as he was illustrating it, you know, all of that thing that they had ripped him apart, you know, all the way around. It ripped his body apart. And I said, each stripe, they ripped him apart and the blood came, you know, streaming down. That's why he went through. I mean, he really went through with all of that. That's why he was weak in order to carry that cross up the hill to Calvary. It's because he had lost all that blood. And so they say that a man had to grab the cross and help him, but because he had lost so much blood. And each stripe, we was healed. Each stripe, something was given for us. And my God, they say it was a black man. I do not know, but he looked at him, you know, as he was carrying the cross for him and everything. And I just wondered if he said, also, you're going to have to carry a cross. You know, the black people of the world. And it was just stupendous the way he illustrated that, because each stripe we was healed. Each stripe, you know, he said he gave his life for us. Like, I came here to do this for you. And each stripe we was healed, delivered, set free from a whole lot of things. And we as the body of Christ should realize that what he did for us, it was stupendous. It was mighty for us. And I thank him and love him for it. And we got to get together like he want us to get together. As he washed the disciples' feet and everything to show them, you know, he said, except that I wash your feet. You know, in other words, you got to love each other. And he said, you know, and be there for each other. We're the servants, and he's the master. And we got to get together and cry out on one accord, realizing this, what he did for us, and then turn around and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, that's some kind of love.
Amen.
Thank you, Auntie Mary.
Beg pardon.
No, I was just saying thank you for your comment, Auntie Mary. Go ahead, Rev.
You know, if we really look at this for what it really is, yes, it is the greatest act of everything. It was the greatest act of love. It was the greatest act of obedience. It was the greatest act of sacrifice. It was the greatest act of redemption. It really was. Because when you stop and think about the comment you made a little while ago, Jesus's love, God's love, was measured not in him saying he loved us, but in what Jesus showed. His love was measured in his obedience. And so that's what the expectation is for us. That's what the measuring stick is for us. It's not for us to always talk about we love, we love, we love, or God, we love you. God's saying, don't just tell me you love me. Let me see your level of sacrifice. Let me see a level of obedience. The greatest worship we could ever give to God is a holy life. And so that's what I get when I look at this story, when I read this verse. I don't just see a simple, simplistic, routine salvation verse. I see an act, if you will, a play, if you will, a theater presentation of the greatest act of unselfishness, the greatest act of unconditional love, the greatest act of sacrifice, and the greatest act of obedience. And it just encourages me to step my game up so that I can love unconditionally and not be irritated by things, so that I can be obedient at a level that God is pleased with. You know, a lot of us will be obedient, but we'll be obedient to a point. A lot of us will do a little sacrificing, but we'll do it to a point. But are we doing the sacrifice? Are we being obedient to the extent that God wants us to? That's the real task. That's the real measure of our relationship versus us walking in just religion, thinking that showing up to church is just enough. No, are you being obedient to what God has called you to, a standard of holy life? Being obedient in how you serve God, listening to God and allowing him to lead us and guide us, as the proverb says, leaning not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, Proverbs 3:5-6, leaning not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, trusting and acknowledging God. I love how God loved us so much. Not only did he give his son, but he gave us his word. He gave us the word of God as the roadmap, as the instructions, as the directions, if you will, all of the above, so that we were left without excuse. He didn't just say he loved us. And that's what this verse brings out. For God so loved the world that he put his that he put his money where his mouth was, that he put it in action. And so, no, I'm not sitting here tonight teaching a doctrine of salvation by works. That's not what I'm doing. But what I am telling people, that you are what you do. You are
Amen.
What you practice. I know that God loves me because I don't just know he loves me because he told me. I know he loved me because he showed me. I know he loved me because he came down in flesh. That's how I know God loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Forget about the fact that the Bible told me so. I see what he did. He has the power to make every last one of those Pharisees disappear. He had the power to make the whipping, the 39 stripes, not hurt him whatsoever. But he forewent all of that. And he said, I'm going to take the pain. I'm going to take the 39 stripes. Because as it's been stated by you, Brother Manny, this was the only way. He had to do it this way. And it teaches us to stop looking for an easier way. It teaches us to stop looking for a way out completely. And it says, God, if you're saying that this is the way I need to go to achieve it, then I'm going to be obedient like my big brother Jesus. I'm going to be obedient like my joint heir Jesus, the Christ, and I'm going to do it this way. Because this is the only way I'm going to maximize and get the outcome that it was supposed to be. If you choose an alternative path or an alternative route, you're going to get an alternative outcome. Not the outcome that you're supposed to get in the first place. And that's why many of us are where we are today. And we're wondering, well, God, why am I still here? Why am I still stuck? Why am I still not where I need to be? Not because of God, because you were not obedient through the process. Jesus was, and I love how you put it, Manny, that Jesus knew what he had to endure, had the ability to forego it, but chose to still go through it, even though he had a moment of humanity, and said, if it's possible, let it pass. Nevertheless, thy will be done. He took it head on. How many of us would have been full of pride up there on the cross when they was mocking us, when the crowd and the centurions were mocking? I thought you was the King of Jews. Come down and save yourself. How many of us would have been like, oh, I'm going to show y'all? How many of us, when the other thief was talking crazy, Jesus, you supposed to be the Savior. Why don't you get down off the cross? And by the way, when you do that, take me down too. Jesus, listen, most of us would have been like, man, you know what? I ain't got to keep on playing this game. But Jesus was also the greatest example of humility.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so overjoyed that we had this discussion and that you told us to study this because, you know, we see the scripture, as I said, all the time, and people just continue to kind of overlook, you know, the depth and the breadth of this scripture. You know, it really does put into perspective the relationship we say we have with God, what type of relationship it is, you know, and we have this sense of entitlement because we've been in the church, you know, or we are part of a church or a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
We're so-called born again. We think we're not supposed to go through nothing. You know, we think we're not supposed to sacrifice. We think we're not supposed to suffer something.
Yeah.
And again, I say, why do we expect God to sacrifice so much and we sacrifice so little? the math doesn't add up. And so I just would encourage everyone to take another look at this scripture you know, all throughout John. John is one of my favorite books, and everybody knows, and including Ephesians and some other books. But I'm just saying, John is one of my favorite books because I've learned more about God's love for me in that book than I have other books. You know, don't get me wrong, other books show God's love for us as well, but something about that book of John, man, it just really, it really transformed my thinking as it pertains to how I think about God and about the fact he sent Jesus and what Jesus endured. And so I thank each and every one of you for joining the broadcast tonight. And that's my final comment. Brother Nate, I'm going to give you a final comment, and then we're going to kick it back to Rev.
Man, amen. Amen. I just want to say to everyone that's listening or will listen later, just understand this, that because of a sacrifice of obedience to our Heavenly Father, we all have a chance for eternal life with him through Jesus Christ. And that's my final comment.
Amen.
I want to say that, you know, God really has always wanted the best for his children, always. From Adam and Eve, you know, he didn't want them to partake of the tree because he knew what path it would take them down. God didn't take it personal. He didn't get in his feelings. He said, well, I'm going to have to redeem the world because I love mankind, and I want mankind to be my gift to my son. And so whoever desires to want to be in the fellowship of the kingdom of God, he says, this is this avenue. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to come down in the flesh as my son, Jesus, and I'm going to die and be resurrected so that those who believe can be resurrected and redeemed back unto me. And so there is no greater love than this. There is no greater love. There is no greater sacrifice. There is no greater obedience. There is no greater humility than this. It just isn't. And we need to find ourselves making sure that from this day forward, we are doing our best to not simply say that we are children of God. And I'm not talking about you already saved. I'm talking about showing so that others can see God in you and want to know the same God that redeemed you. And last but not least, I want to remind you that God cares, and so does the Caring Church.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me your...